Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim's title for this column is Solar is Getting Closer to Making Economic Sense Without Subsidies. And here's what Jim has to say about that. Solar cells are continuing to improve in efficiency. My best source tells me that within a few years, we will likely be seeing solar arrays of multiple layers, each layer tuned to a particular wavelength emitted by the sun. Why is this important now? If a company is looking at the life of existing boilers and planning replacements, we just may be reaching the point that a new boiler's life will encroach on the possibility of replacement by solar. Not that I have ever seen management worried much about what might happen to their current investment in 5 to 10 years. Such a scenario may leave future managers with the decision of whether to retire an asset early due to, at the time, much lower operating costs with new technology. Solar is already at use in our industry, often with subsidies to make it attractive. The Pratt Industries box plant on Staten Island has its entire roof covered with solar cells. To see this, go to Google Earth and search for Victory Boulevard, Staten Island, New York. Scroll to the western end of Victory Boulevard and this array is plainly in view. One of the biggest problems with solar energy, besides its history of inefficiency, is the land it occupies. A current real concern here in the United States is a plan to build a solar farm in my home county, Highland County, Ohio, to supply power to Cincinnati. It will occupy some nice farmland. There are many places solar can be placed to avoid this conundrum. The Pratt Industries example mentioned above is an obvious one. There are many industrial roofs that could be used for solar arrays. Warehouses are particularly attractive, although paper machine roofs could be used too. One place I've been thinking about recently is the space between railroad tracks. This is necessary space for railroads to function, but it is really not used for any productive activity other than to keep the rails properly spaced. If you run the numbers, this space represents about 46,000 acres in the United States. This does not include any other land on railroad rights of way, which must be kept clear for the functioning of railroads. There have been some nascent attempts to use this other land for solar arrays. This is enough land to be worth considering. It just may also be such a configuration to help supplant the overburdened electrical grid in the U.S. Even more interesting, if one thinks of it as a contiguous array, the overall exposure to sunlight will be considerable on any given day of the year due to its massive spread. This is certainly a possibility far beyond the scope and industry of the pulp and paper industry. However, if one thinks about all the mills that have a railroad siding, connection to this solar grid would be easy. My main point, however, is this. Solar is maturing to a point that some fossil fuel-fired boilers installed today may be retired before their useful life is over due to the advancements just around the corner in solar. For safety this week, it is important to remember that if you are around solar, it must be in your LOTO lockout tagout procedure, just like any other energy source when it comes to maintenance. We have solar on our house, and the local utility has stickers all over the place on our junction boxes warning service techs of this hazard. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Did you say Hair Master?
No, you dimwit. Air Master.
Care Master?
No, Air Master.
Dare Master?
Clean your ears out. I said Air Master.
Stare Master?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Air Master, Air Master, Air Master.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stare Master. S-T-A-R-E Master. Tear Master?
I'm going to tear you. Air Master.
Oh, I get it. Air Master.
Yes, Air Master.
But what do they do?
Air Master Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Air Master Aerator.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of Jim's column this week is Power and Energy, Hydroelectric. And here's what Jim has to say about that. Hydroelectric power has been a significant component in pulp and paper mills for over 120 years. Early modern paper mills quickly adopted electric power produced by streams near their facilities. It was a natural. The pulp and paper mills needed water, and when the ability to generate hydroelectric power came along, they quickly built dams and harnessed this renewable resource. Consolidated Paper in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, founded by the ancestors of my good friend George Meade, always comes to mind when I think of this scenario. By the way, George showed impeccable timing as a business person when back in the 1990s he sold Consolidated to Stora Enso at the top of the market for those grades. George never fails to remind me of this when I see him. It was a great business move. The North American pulp and paper industry can be followed historically by observing the rivers that can be harnessed. In the Northeast, both in Canada, New England, New York, and Pennsylvania, mills developed along streams with enough volume and drop to produce significant energy, first directly harnessed from water wheels, then from turbines when electricity came along. Same thing happened on the Miami River in Ohio and on the Wisconsin and Fox Rivers in Wisconsin. In the Northwest and British Columbia, similar conditions existed and were exploited to supply a growing need for pulp and paper products. The Tennessee Valley Authority brought cheap hydroelectric power to the southeast. Combined with Dr. Hurdy's research at the University of Georgia and the groundbreaking silviculture developments at North Carolina State University, the pulp and paper industry migrated to the South after World War II. Being early adopters of electrical energy, pulp and paper mills chose their own frequencies and voltages, as they were standalone islands in a sea of kerosene lamps. Until recent times, some old mill sites have had to have custom-wound motors to accommodate their heritage electrical systems. Other oddities abound. If you own any KitchenAid appliances, this company was founded in Troy, Ohio, by the Hobart family, along with Hobart Brothers Welders and Filler Metals, which they founded in a separate company. The Hobart family was from the Middletown, Hamilton, Ohio area and got their start in electricity by selling illumination systems to the mills along the Miami River. They charged $1 per month per bulb for the electricity and the systems to generate it and convey it to each light bulb socket. So you might say KitchenAid appliances can trace their heritage to the pulp and paper industry. Today, hydroelectric power still serves as an important source of electricity. According to the International Energy Agency, as of 2015, hydroelectric power was 6.1% of the total U.S. electrical energy supply. In this day of renewable energy, hydroelectric power serves a new purpose when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine. Pumped storage plants, PSPs, serve to store energy for future use. Water is pumped into reservoirs and then released through turbines to level out the electrical production when the foundational source is unreliable or unpredictable. The largest one of these facilities in the United States is the Bath County Pumped Storage Station in Virginia. For safety this week, I don't need to tell you that water, electricity, and heights, all necessary elements in a hydroelectric facility, each have hazards of their own. Make sure your personnel understand and are trained in the safety requirements of each. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know, and you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim's title for this column is Power and Energy, Fossil Fuels. And here's what Jim has to say about that. I have admonished readers a number of times over the years not to demolish their fossil fuel-powered assets. Although they may be out of favor at the moment, history indicates nothing is ever permanent in the energy sector. Of course, many facilities are powered with natural gas these days, and the natural gas boilers are, in general, kept in a current technology condition because of their popularity. In my career, there have been many improvements in gas burners and in emissions control technology related to these systems. The ease of transport from wellhead to burner tip is a major factor in the popularity of natural gas, as well as its low cost due to fracking. Coal seems to be the form of power that is really out of favor, although there are many coal boilers still operating. If we're serious about using coal, and we're not at the moment, mine-mouth generating stations seem to make the most sense. Deliver that energy as electricity and keep the deleterious effects of coal operations at the mines, not scattered all over the country. My prediction is that fossil fuels, even coal, will return to favor in the future. Reasoning? Knowledge and technology are constantly changing, and hence the choices we make for energy. Look at windmills. The Dutch used windmills to grind grain centuries ago when everyone else was using water wheels. Why was this? They had a nearly steady wind supply and lived on flat land where water wheels were impractical. No streams with a fall in them. Today, all our concerns are centered around what comes out of the stack, emissions. When there is a solid understanding of emissions and their effects, we can settle on energy sources. Unfortunately, the science necessary to figure this out is in its infancy. Energy crisis has gone through two phases. The first phase was, we are running out of energy, where we took solace in the vast coal reserves we have here in the United States. In the 70s, these were predicted to last 400 years or more. The second phase, which we are in now, focuses on emissions. What we do know is this: the basic physics and other science related to exploiting energy for human consumption has not changed. What we don't know is the full knowledge of what that science is and how it affects us and our surroundings. We have lots of guesses and some fairly good assumptions, but the answers are not final. I suspect the fossil fuels are not the ogres they're made out to be at the present. Regardless of energy source, all of them are dangerous when untamed, not properly harnessed and controlled. Keep up your safety training on the proper procedures for interacting with them. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
From bales to cores to finished rolls and parent rolls, automatic handling is your guide to overcoming the worst material handling headaches. Located in Erie, Michigan, Automatic Handling International has been providing advanced state-of-the-art equipment to the paper industry for over four decades. Automatic handling's equipment makes management, operators, and maintenance smile. Elegant solutions, simple to operate and maintain. You get a feel for their dedication to advanced equipment design and advanced manufacturing when you visit their factory. Vertically integrated, the company can control every stage of a capital project from design and manufacture to full in-house runoffs and mill startups. You won't find a paper drawing anywhere in their plant. All manufacturing and assembly is directly linked to engineering and select suppliers. The assembly floor is instantly updated on any changes with extraordinarily large screens where technicians can see every piece, every assembly detail in 3D. This means your equipment can be custom designed and built for your operations while still providing extremely short lead times for your new solution from Automatic Handling. That's Automatic Handling International Incorporated, Erie, Michigan, USA. Visit them at www.automatichandling.com or call them at 734-847-0633. That's 734-847-0633. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim's title for this column is Power and Energy, Hubris and Finality. And here's what Jim has to say about that. As we wrap up December's power and energy emphasis, I want to offer a caution or two. When I started this series a few weeks ago, I referenced power and energy as a big topic for at least the last 46 years. Of course, it's always been a big topic, even to ancient times when animal power and human slaves supplied the energy for the rich and powerful. With the use of modern energy sources, the world has democratized energy uses, allowing many to have the benefits of cheap energy. But back to the last 46 years, time and again, I have witnessed learned people in companies, governments, and institutions declare they have found the answer to the energy crisis. Do not be deceived. John Dos Passos, in his 1941 essay, The Use of the Past, references the idiot delusions of exceptional now. Dos Passos meant by this that at any given point in time, we think we have all the data, all the information, and hence the decisions we make now are final, complete, and will last from now on. He was saying this is not true, and we should never be deceived by this idea. In the power and energy arena, early in my career, when I was a bit less experienced than now, I swallowed lines that were similar to this one. We have the energy solution. It's definitive and final, and we can move on to other topics. This has never happened once in my 50-year career. What concerns me today is that individuals, institutions, companies, and governments are adapting some ideas at great costs with the implied understandings that they will A, succeed, and B, last forever. I think this is dangerous thinking, at least if you are making investments in these concepts, particularly in the energy field. Why can I say this? In the history of humankind, there are very few ideas that have withstood the test of time. After all, at one time, the learned people of the world insisted all the universe revolved around the Earth. They even made Galileo eat takeout for a while. When he questioned this, he was confined to house arrest. I'll further submit that future generations will demand that most of the ideas of today absolutely must be declared obsolete and old-fashioned. Why? The scientists and philosophers of the next and succeeding generations must have something to chew on, just as those of this generation did. Universities even insist on this. PhD dissertations must be original work, the very reason English majors have been reduced to writing dissertations on the effects on the mind of punctuation in Shakespeare's sonnets when read under a street light on the island of Mykonos. Thus, those inclined to pursue a PhD in an energy-related field must come up with new ideas. One of the traps we get into with energy is that the consumption of a particular form of energy follows exacting scientific principles. This is true and makes us feel good. The mistake we make, however, is that society's choice of energy solutions is completely emotional. It is only when one chooses a form that the science kicks in. So as we wrap up the second decade of this century, don't for a minute think you have seen the final definitive solution to energy sources and schemes. We don't even know what we don't know. For safety this week, do not become emotional when around energy sources. This could be disastrous for you and others. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.